Agenda item number five. It's an appeal of a Wetlands Board decision, the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board, by Mr. Bruce Mills. Ms. Block? Could we, before we begin this, I would kind of like to orient the board here to what our job is here today. This is an appeal of a Wetlands Board decision. These aren't commonly before the board, so everyone might not be fully conversant on what our function is here and what our mandate is. Ms. Block is representative of the Attorney General's office. She knows the law. Would you please give us all our marching orders under the law?
So, on an appeal from Wetlands Board, your job is to review the decision, not for whether or not you personally would decide the same way. The things that you can remand or reverse the decision on is whether or not the board failed to fulfill their responsibilities under the statute, whether they exceeded their authority that's given to them by the statute, whether they committed a procedural error, or whether the decision was unsupported by evidence. And in the evidentiary standard, it's more like an APA evidentiary standard where the board has the discretion to believe one piece of evidence more than another. So just because there is contrary evidence in the record doesn't necessarily mean the board had to go that way. You also, if it's a procedural error or a violation of the Constitution or a statute, or if it's unsupported by evidence, or if you find that it's arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of discretion, those items will justify remand only if it resulted in prejudice to the substantial rights of the applicant. So if it's something like a harmless error where it wouldn't have actually affected the outcome, that's not necessarily a reason to overturn the decision. I think the biggest thing to remember is the commission can't substitute its judgment for the judgment of the board. The statute gives the Wetland Board discretion to make these determinations based on what's best for the environment and balancing the environmental concerns with economic growth. It's not the commission's job to make those decisions.
So this is, in layman's turn here, a review on whether or not the Wetlands Board did their job, whether or not their decision was a reasonable decision based in light with the evidence that they were presented. It's not our job to superimpose our will in this case. It's a review to make sure that everything was done by Hoyle, so to speak. So let's start with Mr. Worrell. Justin, would you fill us in here on what the details about this are?
Sure. Good morning, Commissioner Bull, members of the commission. Mr. Mills, Mr. Bruce Mills, is appealing the decision of the City of Virginia Beach Wetlands Board to deny his request to dredge tidal wetlands and install a riprap revetment adjacent to 613 and 617 Pine Tree Circle, situated along Buchanan Creek in Virginia Beach. On September 18th, the board heard Mr. Mills' request to install 139 linear feet of riprap and dredge approximately 1,684 square feet of non-vegetated wetlands. The board staff provided a briefing and presentation, including drawings, photographs, and previous surveys. A VIMS report and a staff recommendation was also provided to the board. Eventually, a motion to approve the request received three affirmative votes and two negative votes from the five members present on that day. Without receiving the four affirmative votes, the permit request was denied in accordance with Section 28.2-1302, subsection 7A of the Code of Virginia, which states that approval of a permit application shall require the affirmative vote of three members of a five-member board or four members of a seven-member board. Virginia Beach has a seven-member board. Although only five were present that day, That was a sufficient number to constitute a quorum, and the board was capable of holding a hearing and voting on proposals. I'd like to go through quickly the board staff's presentation to the board, which is a PowerPoint presentation. This is specifically from the board. This hasn't been altered in any way. Beginning slide. City map and a tax map image showing the two properties. An aerial view of the two properties with the cove in between. Another aerial view, cove in question. First plan view drawing. This is the plan view drawing, a closer view highlighted by the city staff. In red, we have the proposed dredging footprint, mean low water in blue, the proposed riprap in yellow. Over on the right-hand side is the previously approved dredging permit for this section of Buchanan Creek back in 2000. It was a neighborhood project. Cross-sectional views of the proposed dredging. Another cross-sectional view showing the riprap revetment in proximity to the top cut of the dredge footprint. Now we'll go through some of the board staff's site photos. We're at the head of the cove. Looking into the head of the cove, this stake here and other stakes you'll see along the edge of the cove are 5-foot offsets from the dredge cut. Looking towards the north. Again, this is actually the riprap revetment, I believe, and this is the 5-foot offset from the dredge cut, the extent at the most landward location. Again, from the head of the cove. Head of the cove again. Looking down the western shoreline of the cove, the landward stakes of the riprap revetment, again, 5-foot offset from the dredge cut. A bit closer on the western side. Now we're looking back to the south. This is the proposed riprap revetment headed to this point here. Same shot during the summer months with vegetation present. Again, a photo looking towards the north out at Buchanan Creek. And that's the last aerial. Now the board also provided these slides to the board staff provided these slides to the board as part of their presentation. On the left, this is the survey drawing and application drawing from 2000 showing this same cove and the proposed dredge footprint from 2000. Over on the right, this is actually what was approved by all regulatory agencies. As you can see, it's much shorter than the original title. Now, the board staff created this slide including the proposed footprint from today, the original proposal from 2000, and what was approved ultimately with the 2000 request by the regulatory agencies. And this was a copy of the post-dredging survey of that channel that was permitted in 2000. Some of the issues that were presented to the board during the public hearing. A VIMS report. VIMS visited the site and generated a report stating that the non-vegetated wetlands on site do perform important ecosystem services and should not be discounted. And they recommended moving the pier and the dredge cut nearer to the mouth of the cove. The board staff also provided a recommendation to the board, offering an approval with a modification to reduce the length of the dredge channel to what was previously approved in 2000. That would pull it back approximately 30 feet or more and eliminate the majority of the non-vegetated wetlands dredging. The applicant, Mr. Mills, testified that he was attempting to provide water access for up to 3 private properties. He felt that the non-vegetated wetlands in the cove had been irreversibly disturbed and therefore could be dredged as compared to other more ecologically valuable wetlands nearby. He did not agree with the staff's modification and proposal. However, he did offer to create more tidal wetlands on site if the dredging were approved. He had an agent, Mr. Robert Simon of Waterfront Consulting, He also spoke on Mr. Mills' behalf. Mr. Simon characterized the dredging proposal as more of a cleanup of organic debris that was accumulating in the cove. He believed that the non-vegetated wetlands to be dredged held little value. There was one speaker in opposition to the proposal, a representative from Lynn Haven River Now. Her name was Trista Emmerich. She stated that the project did not exhibit purpose and need that an application should when it goes before the Wetlands Board. The non-vegetated wetlands did have value, and that the impacts could easily be avoided by peering out to deeper water along the creek side of the properties. The board members asked many questions, expressed concerns and comments, and held a lengthy discussion. Two of the members favored the proposal. One member cited the VIM's expertise and thought other alternatives should be sought. And one member expressed concerns of approving a project without seeing details of a proposed wetlands compensation area. Mr. Mills was urged to consider a deferral of the project, and he chose not to. On to our summary. Section 28.2-1313 of the Code of Virginia states that the Commission shall modify, remand, or reverse the Board's decision if the Board failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetlands Zoning Ordinance or if the rights of the applicant have been prejudiced. Based on our attendance at the Board hearing and our review of the record, staff cannot find that the Board erred procedurally in their review of this matter, nor that the substantial rights of the applicant have been prejudiced by their decision. The failure to obtain four affirmative votes on the motion to approve this project, as required by 28.2-1302 subsection 7C of the Code, clearly does not represent procedural error on the Board's part. Questions or issues regarding the actual vote totals should have no bearing on the Commission's consideration of the applicant's appeal. Clearly, two of the five Board members were uncomfortable supporting the dredging proposal as submitted. They questioned the purpose and need for the dredging to extend up into the non-vegetated wetlands at the head of the cove. Even when the concept of on-site compensation was offered to offset the non-vegetated wetlands losses, the board members were hesitant to accept the offer without reviewing the actual details on application drawings. Additionally, it is important to note that the Commission's own wetlands mitigation and compensation guidelines state that a proposed activity should stand on its own merits in the permit approval process, and compensation should not be used to justify permit issuance. Commission staff also share similar questions and concerns with the dissenting board members regarding the proposal's purpose and need and the issue of offering compensation to justify the project impacts. As such, staff recommends that the September 18th decision of the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board be upheld. Code allows the applicant to reapply in modified form if the application is denied. Should the applicant elect to do so, he could consider shortening the proposed dredging footprint to match the previously authorized footprint as the board staff had originally recommended. That's our presentation. We're glad to answer any questions. The city is here. Mr. Mills is here.
Thank you, Justin. Are there questions from the commission? Good job.
Now, Mr. Mills also, the date of the hearing had several exhibits, photographs, and poster boards. I'd be glad to set these up if Mr. Mills would like.
That would be great. Mr. Mills, I understand you're an attorney.
Yes, sir.
In which case, I don't need to swear you in.
Okay.
You're an officer of the court. In which case, the floor is yours. You do understand that we're here as kind of a backstop to the Wetlands Board decision. This isn't a rehearing. This isn't a chance to modify arguments. This is a review of whether or not the Wetlands Board decision was reasonable in light of the testimony that had been provided and whether or not your due process rights and it was run fairly, those type of things. So, floor is yours. Tell us what you think we need to know, please.
Well, good morning, VMRC.
Thank you.
I want to thank you in advance for your thoughtful consideration of my appeal. I hope you have had the opportunity to read the transcripts. That's very important. I'd first of all like to explain my plans. First of all, I own three adjoining waterfront properties. 5 acres. That's 1,700 water frontage on Buckhannon Creek. Now, on my property, there are three different codes. There is this one here, there is this one here, then there's this middle one. A year or so ago, the city of Virginia Beach, the residents of my area, tried to institute a dredging tax district. You're familiar with how that works. If you get 90% of the residents to agree, they will dredge the inlet, the channel.
We have some experience with that, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we didn't get 90, we got 87%. If we had gotten 90, the city would have dredged about 100,000 cubic yards of decades-old silt and muck from that channel rail. That's not going to happen. So I decided on my own, with my own funds, to attempt to provide waterfront access to my three properties. I applied. After I completed this very expensive survey, I met with my engineer, and we decided, well, the only really viable cove to dredge would be this one here. I'd like to show you the condition of this cove and this cove. If you look here, can everybody see that? Everybody see that? This is wetlands of primary ecological significance, okay? I elected not to dredge that or to apply to dredge it. Now, this is a photograph of that area there. I hope you can see what I'm showing you. 50 years ago, I helped install this riprap here. 50 years ago. This is before these environmental laws were even adopted. This fence was put in. At that time, you see here, there were 18 inches less muck in that cove. That's from the silt that's been washing in over the years. And as a result, you now have wetlands of irreversibly disturbed for over 50 years. The staff at the initial hearing made their recommendation. This is the unbiased, their true objective opinion. I'd like to repeat that for you. The shoreline in this area is relatively flat with little wave action and no visible erosion. While VIMS preferred shoreline BMP is for living shoreline, but staff is of the opinion there isn't enough light reaching the shoreline in this area to support a living shoreline without significant removal of trees. In addition, the desire to dredge the channel for boating access will narrow the shoreline and will make the bank profile more steep, both of which are unfavorable, but they recommended that it be approved as submitted. The only reason it wasn't voted upon at that time is that there was a concern expressed by Justin that I hadn't shown a pier there. I didn't know you had to. I'm perfectly fine to show it. It was continued for me to do that, and that's what I have done. The Virginia Beach Wetland Board has failed to live up to its responsibilities under the appropriate statutory creations. I'm talking about the Wetlands Act and the Chesapeake Bay Act. First of all, landowners in tidewater are encouraged by the code to concentrate dredging in areas of non-vegetated wetlands that have been irreversibly disturbed. To a certain extent, I'm grandfathered in, if you want to look at it from that perspective. Second of all, the board has exceeded its statutory authority as set forth in Section 61.2-44, period 15:72b. The stated purpose, as expressed in that code section, is to protect the water quality of Buchanan Creek from significant degradation. Where is the evidence in the transcript stating that my modest dredging project will result in significant degradation to the waters of Buchanan Creek? There is none. If it is okay for the city to dredge thousands of cubic yards of muck from Buchanan Creek, why is it a problem for me to dredge 35 cubic yards in a non-vegetated wetland? Lynn Haven now spoke in opposition. This is a private group of local environmentalists whose stated goal is to reduce pollution in Buchanan Creek. Tricia Emright's assessment of my proposal dredging does not rise to the level of a standard. The standard is significant degradation to the water quality. She said there was no need for my project. Need is not a standard. If she can prove, she says there is no public benefit to be derived from my project. Well, apparently there's no public benefit to be derived from dredging that channel either, which seems to me would purify the waters. What I'm doing will actually create more of a water flow and will help to purify these waters. I thought that's what they wanted. Now for a little bit of history. 300 years ago, three centuries ago, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry refused to sign the proposed Virginia Constitution until it broke out into a Bill of Rights, the principle that private property should never be taken for public use without compensation. His words at that time was he didn't want that such a valuable right for which they had fought should be in the Constitution by mere implication. That's why it was broken out, and it is. That's why our Constitution is referred to as the American Magna Carta. You can't take private property. You can reasonably regulate private property. But you must conform to the standards before you strip away that constitutional right. A denial of a permit not based upon the correct statutory standards can and should be summarily rejected. Now, another issue I'm raising is a procedural majority rule. The well-established common law rule states that so long as you have a quorum present, a vote by the majority of those board members present is sufficient for a valid action. When the electronic board lit up and it revealed the results, I saw three in favor, two against. I said, well, I've prevailed. I've won. But apparently this board requires a supermajority. Now, this is what I can't understand. Planning Commission, City Council, Zoning Board, VMRC, they all adhere to the common law principle of majority rule. What is so unique about this environmental rule that private property owners should be held to a higher standard? I got a majority vote of those who were there. When is a seven-member board not a seven-member board when there are only five people present?
Mr. Mills, I'm going to have to interrupt this train of argument, and that the required four votes to win is in statute. So you're questioning the General Assembly's decision to put this in statute. So I'm not sure that's applicable here. I can see how you're not happy with it.
You certainly can. But listen, when y'all was sworn into office, you raised your hand and you swore to uphold the Constitution of Virginia. I don't know how that little provision got in there. It should be a quorum, but it is unfair to hold a private property owner to a standard that's very hard to meet. I had majority approval
Mr. Mills, I can say in all honesty that I know a number of statutes that I think are unfair, but they've been in code now for decades or generations. I understand your frustration, but from what I can tell from the law, it is what it is, and the four votes was necessary to win.
I agree with you. It's there in black and white. It's not right. It's not. But that's not the reason. I appeal because they have not applied the proper standards.
I understand.
Thank you very, very much.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Pardon?
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it.
Let's see if the commission has some questions.
Sure.
They may well have some questions. Are there some questions from the commission? Mr. Zedra.
I understand from the previous presentation that you were given an opportunity to sort of table that application until more work could be done on the proposal. Why didn't you do that?
I did that. It was continued for me to appear. That's what I did. I had my engineer resubmit it showing the pier.
I thought the issue was they wanted you to, go closer to the channel than you had proposed. Is that right?
Now, what they said was that 10 years ago or so, someone applied to dredge, and they only applied to dredge up to a certain point. But that doesn't mean that I should not be allowed to dredge beyond that, as long as I am not significantly damaging the water quality of the bay. I'm actually helping the environment. If you read my transcript, you would see that I agreed. If I was allowed to dredge this, I would cooperate and around the perimeter and do what would have make this a real, more viable wetlands than what it is now.
Thank you.
Mr. France.
Yes, you showed a picture of 50 years ago when you had put this riprap around.
Years, uh-huh.
Has this cove ever been dredged since then, or
dredged? Yes, it was dredged, I think, in 2001. It was dredged back then, but it didn't go up to here. It just went up to that site. But I have three houses with three coves. I'm trying to provide access for the three different houses. I'm not touching two of the coves. They will be there forever in their natural state. I just don't think it's unreasonable what I'm asking.
Mrs. Everett.
Could I ask Vim to speak to Mr. Mills' suggestion that this will actually improve water quality?
Yes, I will allow that because this is in keeping with the record that had been established at the Wetlands Board. I'm not looking to introduce new evidence. This is a review of the Wetlands Board decision. It would take a vote of the majority of the board here to open the record and introduce new evidence, but I think that a better understanding of what Vince's advice was to the Wetlands Board may be helpful for you all here. So, Mr. Luckenbach. Dr. Luckenbach.
Yes, Ms. Emily Hine from our staff visited the site and wrote the report, and you have it in your package. I don't need to go through all of that. There's a few things about this site that lead us to not dismiss it, if you will, as being heavily degraded or not having ecological value. One, the sediments are mixed. They're not the goopy mud that you've heard us recommend before in some of these SSD projects that don't have benthic resources. It is valuable. It's the type of shallow water habitat that juvenile fishes move up into and will find some food resources in. Additionally, the dredging of that area then puts at risk the banks of that cove, which are now stable, and would then have to further be hardened, as you heard in the staff report. Those were our reasons behind that. Issues of water quality are also about habitat quality, and this is about that importance of that unvegetated habitat.
Further questions? Dr. Luckenbach, for the record here, your expertise is in benthic communities, is that correct?
Yes, I'm a marine benthic ecologist.
Thank you, sir. Are there other questions of Mr. Mills? Is the city present and represented, the Wetlands Board?
morning, Tobias Eisenmore, Assistant City Attorney for the City of Virginia Beach. I'll keep it pretty brief because I essentially endorse the comments of Mr. Worrell. I believe the board made the right decision here. Mr. Mills urged this commission to read the transcript. I would do the exact same thing. It's 17 pages long. The hearing lasts about 45 minutes. We heard from Mr. Mills. We saw all of his exhibits, and we also had the opposition from VIMS, from Lynn Haven River Now, and the comments from staff, which did not favor the application as submitted, but recommended modifications that were ultimately rejected by Mr. Mills. And most importantly, there was a prolonged period of, I think, pretty robust questioning from the board itself to Mr. Mills about the project. Ultimately, at the end of all of this, the project did not receive the favor of the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board. It didn't. The permit was not granted. And as counsel for VMRC stated, the purpose of the review of this should be whether or not the decision of the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board was proper based off the evidence that they were that they had to consider. Not a review of the evidence itself, but whether they could have come to the conclusion that they did based off what was submitted in front of them. I think on the basis of some pretty substantial opposition to the project, the fact that staff itself had recommended a shallower and shorter dredge cut in order for the project to be approved, and the questioning from the board itself, it's pretty clear that they took this seriously, and at the end of it, the project simply didn't have the votes to be granted the permit. I think it's telling on page 15 of the transcript, staff was close to either saying, we can let you put this forward to a vote to be approved as modified by staff, or we could give you a deferral on this project and you could come back with some better drawings showing the compensation. And Mr. Mills stated, I don't want to have to come back. And he decided, I'm just going to put this forward the way I submitted it and see how it goes. So not only was there a lot of consideration about the project itself, but there was a greater the board was willing to work with him to a level to allow him to even come back with a different proposal. He insisted on going forward as submitted, and I think it wasn't surprising that the project didn't pass. It didn't get the votes it needed. I think the board acted. They took this project very seriously. There's a long period of discussion about it, and I would encourage the MRC to uphold the decision of the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board.
Are there questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lisa.
Mr. Mills, give me one more minute here. It's a public hearing. I'm going to give you a chance to rebut and to summarize in a minute here, or two, or three. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to testify about this matter one way or another? Mr. Worrell.
Just to clarify, they would have had to have participated that day.
I assume that there would be others in the audience. But okay.
Just one point of clarification. This project, and it's in the record, it's in the official record, this project was deferred three times prior to this hearing on September.
I did note that.
It had come before the board. At one point, it did have some discussion, and then two subsequent times, it was immediately requested and agreed to deferral by the applicant's agent.
Mr. Mills.
Yes. I never asked for a deferral. When I originally applied for this, the only reason that they wanted me to defer it was because I hadn't shown a peel. That was the only reason. When we came back for the rehearing, in the meantime, they had decided they wanted to reduce what I was applying to do. And I objected to that because I don't see where the additional 35 cubic yards is going to result in a significant degradation of the quality of that water. I shouldn't be for, the burden is on them. The burden is on them to prove that what I'm going to do is going to significantly degrade the water quality of Buchanan Creek. That's the issue as far as I see it.
Thank you, Mr. Mills. I appreciate your presentation. Well, it matters before the board for discussion and action. Shall we start with the discussion? Mr. Zeter?
I'm looking at Code of Virginia 28.2-1313, and it talks about what counsel brought up as far as our job is, and it talks about when the commission to modify, remand, or reverse the decision to the Wetlands Board, and it's exactly as counsel pointed out, the Wetlands Board reaching its decision failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetland Zoning Ordinance. I think staff did an excellent presentation, so did Mr. Mills. This was kind of not like just somebody showed up one day and said, hey, I want this, and the other one said, forget it. I think this was a thorough presentation. Staff put a lot of time into it. What I like to see here, and it was done here, is that you got to have a meeting of the minds. And that meeting of the minds here said, look, we're not telling you you can't do it. We just want you to do it in a more responsible manner as far as ecology goes and the environment. And so I understand where Mr. Mills is coming from. You know, I'm a landowner myself, and I think, you know, you ought to be able to use your land. And but that being said, you got public waterways and everything like that, and you've got the environment. And I was telling somebody in there earlier that I went fishing this weekend, went up to Lafayette River, and noticed how the environment was so well protected. The grass was growing in the river and everything. And so that was important for us to do that. And I think that's what staff and VIMS was trying to do here, is to say, look, we're not going to tell you can't do what you want to do, but we want you to reduce the footprint here a little bit and kind of work with us. And that was something that the applicant didn't want to do. So when you look at Section 1 of that statute, and then you look at Section 2, Section 2 says substantial rights of the appellant or the applicant have been prejudiced because of the findings and conclusions in the decision. Well, obviously, he's prejudiced because it didn't get his way. But the statute goes on to say is that in violation of constitutional provisions, and the commissioner pointed out here very well that, you know, whether you agree with the four-member majority or not, that's what the statute is, and we're supposed to uphold the law. When it talks about an excessive in violation of constitutional provisions, I didn't hear any of that. And it says made upon unlawful procedure. I think from listening to the staff, the city attorney, and everybody here, everybody was there and participated and gave them full due process. Affected by other error of law, that didn't happen in this case. And another section says unsupported by the evidence on record considered as a whole. I think that everybody's got a lot of evidence here. I think the air staff put a lot of time into it. Vince put a lot of time into it. Mr. Mills put a lot of time into it. You've got all kind of drawings and boards and sketches and everything in the world here. So I think there's plenty of evidence here to support a decision regardless of which way it went. And then the last thing is whether the decision is arbitrary, capricious, or abuse of discretion. I don't think we saw that here either. And so that's the criteria that I think that we're going to have to look at. And I think that based upon the statute 28.2-1313, that the Wetlands Board complied with those, and I would move that we approve the Wetlands decision.
That would be a motion to uphold the Wetlands Board decision.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a motion by Mr. Zedron here. Let's see if there's a second and then continue discussion if necessary. Is there a second? Second by Mrs. Everett.
We have a motion and a second on the table here. Is there further discussion here on the issues here or the motion?
Mr. Tankard.
Yes, I agree with everything Mr. Zedron said. I feel as though the process played out as best it could. Unfortunately, it didn't go in Mr. Mills' favor. But in many regards, it could have gone in Mr. Mills' favor if he had negotiated and sort of met us halfway or met the board halfway. So for me, that's really the biggest issue to me is there was no compromise. And a compromise could have, I think, afforded us an outcome that he probably would have been happy with. But I don't see any need for us to not do anything but uphold the decision of the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board.
Is there further discussion? We have a motion and a second on the table here to uphold the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board decision in this matter. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well, and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you for your presentation, Mr. Mills. Thank you, sir.